and welcome to the S Words Podcast, coming to you from the San Diego Comic Con floor. I'm Dominic Nguyen, your host. With me today is Phil Folio, a legendary comic illustrator.
Hey, how you doing?
Let's just get right going. I'd like to ask you, because how I and many other people became a fan of yours is through your work with Robert Asprin's Myth Adventures books. Mm-hmm. So could you tell me a little bit about how you got started, how that team-up came into being?
Well, that was very much a case of not what I knew, but who I knew. Both Bob and I were frequent attenders of science fiction conventions back in the Midwest in the early 70s. I was a college student at the time, and Bob was a freelance writer and part-time accountant for Xerox. So he attended a lot of conventions, and I attended a lot of conventions. And after a while, you start noticing, didn't I see you last week in St. Louis or something like that? And after a while, you start, talking. So we got to know each other and found we enjoyed each other's company, and we hung out together. Bob told good stories, and I drew funny cartoons about them. When Bob needed an illustrator for his novels, the Myth novels, after Kelly Freas, who was the original illustrator, bowed out, they signed me up on his say-so. When he sold the rights to Warp Graphics to do a comic book version, they were like, can you recommend an artist? And he was like, well, as a matter of fact, I can. So I got that, and that was pretty much my first comic book job, and I found I liked it so much that that's pretty much the ghetto I've been ever since.
So was it a matter of you brought your illustration style to his his writing style and they just matched perfectly, or was it a little bit of the influence of the stories on your illustrations that came into being there?
No, that was pretty much my style, the goofy cartoony style. It's just that Bob wrote goofy cartoony kind of stuff, so I didn't have to change a darn thing.
Sounds beautiful.
Oh, it was fabulous.
And then so after that you went to Dragon Magazine for a while for Phil and Dixie, right?
That is correct.
And so how did that actually come about? Was that also who you knew through Bob Asprin? Or
no, I attended one of the early Gen Cons, which was like in the basement of a VFW hall. There was like maybe 20 tables and 200 people, which goes to tell you how long ago that was.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. And I showed my portfolio to the art director and got some work from them. I did some covers. I had just moved to New York City, and I was trying to think of something I could draw to make some money. And I came up with this stupid idea equating role-playing games with chess. And I was like, well, that's a nice one-panel cartoon. And, Dragon Magazine, they'll take anything. But that's only like $25. Man, and I was very lazy and still am to this day. And I was like, I don't really want to go to all that effort just for lousy $25. On the other hand, if I come up with like five more jokes and do a full page, I'd probably get, over $100 for that. That's worth doing. And only a little more time. So I did that, and I got a nice one page out of it, and I was like, they'll find this funny, and I sent it off, and I got a note back from the art director who was like, I'll take as many of these as you can send me. So, for the next 3 years, every month, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a simpler time.
Sounds like a simpler time. So that leads us up to your current work, which is Girl Genius, which you can find online at girlgeniusonline.com. So walk us through the creation of Girl Genius. The setting itself is just, it's almost a character in Girl Genius. And so how did that come about? I mean, it's what you call, Gaslamp Fantasy?
Gaslamp Fantasy,
Gaslamp Fantasy, not to be confused with steampunk, which it often is anyway, but
we have no punks. Yeah. Well, around the middle of the 90s, my wife and I were trying to think of something new to do, some new project. We knew we wanted to do something with a strong female character. We had the name Girl Genius. We pretty much had the main character. We had a lot of the story, but we wanted to find the, it didn't really have any snap to it. Originally, it was going to be set in, like, modern day, really. Okay. But, we were just kind of like, that means we're going to have to draw modern stuff. So Kaya was going through my sketchbooks, and she was like, you know, you've got an awful lot of Victoriana kind of stuff, you know, Frankenstein monsters and, you know, weird castles and, you know, this kind of Jules Verne type machinery and stuff. And you've never done anything like that. And I said, well, I love to draw that kind of stuff. But, you know, everything I've done has either been, you know, kind of medieval Tolkien fantasy or, you know, futuristic sci-fi. So not really any call for that. And so we were kind of, she was like, you know, so if we did something like this, it would be totally unique and you'd really enjoy drawing it? And it's like, well, I guess so. So, you know, blame my wife.
So it's a matter of it was lurking in your subconscious for decades then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun then. You're still enjoying it. How many years has it been now since you started Girl Genius?
Whew. Well, let's see.
It seems about 10-ish.
Well, longer than that, really. We started working on it in 1993.
Oh, wow. Because the actual releases were around 99, right?
Around 2001, really.
Okay.
In 1993, Kaya and I started writing it because there are so many comic book series or even just book series, and I'm sure you've read a few of them, where it starts off with a bang and it's all real interesting and fabulous and what's going on and the characters are just doing things, and then it kind of slows down and it kind of stops for a long time. Well, what's happened is the, you know, writing a setup is easy. You know, oh, look at this. Everyone in this world has, you know, clocks in their heads. Oh, and you come up with some nice stuff for that. But nobody ever really bothers to write the story out. Where does it go? What happens? So, you know, the thing becomes a hit, and all of a sudden you realize you've got to end the thing. So what do? Well, you got to sit down and write it. That's what you got to do. So we were like, the hell with that. We're just going to do that first. So we worked on Girl Genius for 6 years.
Before you even put pen to paper
absolutely.
On for an image, I
absolutely.
See.
Well, we did a lot of images.
Oh, okay.
We did a lot of background sketches and, you know, character design and things like that.
So how far out did you develop back then? Are you still working off of those original notes?
Absolutely.
All right. And you have it pretty much worked out from beginning to end then?
There's some, you know, we know where the story goes. We know how it ends. How it's going to get there, that's still in flux. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened that are in there that weren't there when we started, but oh my gosh, they just turned out so great. You know, we're about halfway through the Girl Genius story arc as we see it now. So you'll be stuck with us for like another 10 years.
Meanwhile, something that's of personal interest to me is when you guys as a studio decided to take your work online and become a webcomic after, three volumes were published or so? Three or four?
Three, yes.
So what made you make that leap? What made you decide to take it all online for free?
Gosh, a variety of things, really. For a long time, you know, people would come up to me and they'd say, hey, how do I break into comics? And I'd be like, oh, Jesus, don't. Why do you want to? Comics are dying as a medium.
No.
You want to do something smart, get into webcomics. I mean, your startup costs are a lot lower and this, that, and the other thing. So there came a time when our cash flow was a little tight. Plus, we'd been saying we should get into webcomics for such a long time. We were like, you know, let's do it. Let's just do the thing. So we just started putting it all online for free. And yeah, we started making more money as soon as we started giving it away for free. Our readership had been hovering at around 9,000 to 12,000 when we were putting Girl Genius out in print. As of last month, our verifiable numbers, we have around 320,000 readers.
And it's a much more global audience now, right?
It's a much more global audience. That's a real lowball estimate because the tracking services, they don't track actual readers. They track IP addresses. Which means that if you check Girl Genius right now, you know, your little computer, it'll go, okay, that's one person reading it. If everybody at Google reads Girl Genius in the office, that counts as one reader.
Right.
And everybody at Google reads Girl Genius. Hi, guys. Everybody at Amazon. Everybody at Microsoft. Everybody, you know, a lot of big corporations waste entirely too much time on our stuff. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
And so another factor in this, in going online, you guys are famous for never having missed anything. You've never, you've had guest strips, you've had filler material, well, not necessarily filler material, but non-story material, like little extras and little radio dramas and things like that.
Right.
So what goes into putting out a comic every Monday, Wednesday, Friday on the dot?
The realization that this is a job and we are professionals, and people will forgive an awful lot, but if you commit to a schedule, you have to commit to it. You know, I produced several weeks of material in advance, you know, so it'll update automatically while I'm here at Comic-Con. It pretty much is just treating it as a job and saying, you know, we've made a commitment to doing this and doing it.
So speaking of Comic-Con right now, is there anything that you're still here as a fan of? Do you still have anything that you enjoy other than your work as the master of ceremonies for the Masquerade every year? Is there anything else that you just truly enjoy about coming to Comic-Con? Do you sneak off and try and get anything in here?
Nah, it's all rubbish. No, gosh, no. There's so much stuff being done by the other webcomics people. It's really nice to be able to talk to them. It's nice to see what's coming out. You know, I'm very much a fan of, you know, independent comics and small press. I love going through and seeing the new stuff. Not the same old that Marvel or DC or Dark Horse is bringing out again, you know. The fringe stuff, the stuff that you won't find, you know, in, you know, the comic kiosk at the mall.
So you're a big fan of things like the Alternative Press Expo?
Absolutely.
And, all right.
Absolutely.
Independent. All the, let's see, we're pretty near the small press area here, aren't we? We're here in what is colloquially known as Web Comic Con. We're here near Red versus Blue, near Penny Arcade and PvP and HalfPixel.com and...
Umbrella and Blank Label Comics and you know, a lot of the big names in web comics, like Least I Could Do and Something Positive and Devil's Panties and
right.
You know,
so there's no place you'd rather be
all day,
here,
really. Absolutely. We're Comic-Con is actually beginning to recognize that web comics as a medium, as a method of delivery, is one of the more exciting, dynamic, and fast-growing parts of the comics industry. I mean, there's over 18,000 web comics being produced right now, and that number is like half a year old. Who knows what it's up to now?
Yeah, we'll see what happens once these people discover the iPhone, and maybe they can just start sending directly to people's phones, right?
A lot of people are doing that already.
Yeah, already doing it.
Sure. I mean, it's one of the most democratic forms of comics, because anybody can do it, and anybody can post. And then the marketplace decides, you know. And for years, you know, I'll say it myself, web comics is obviously the medium I was born to do, because I've been working here for 30 years. And like I said, Girl Genius, 9,000, 10,000 readers. Now?
Multiplied that by a factor of 30 online.
At least. And like I said, that's a lowball estimate.
Wow.
You know?
All right, so I've taken up just about 15 minutes of your time. That's what I promised. Do you have any final words to our listeners who should be your readers at girlgeniusonline.com?
Check out Girl Genius, certainly, but, you know, there are lots of other web comics out there, and a surprising number of them are good, and they are worth your time and effort, and, you know, try making one yourself. It's easy.
All right, thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank you.
You can find us on the internet at s-words-podcast.com. This is Dom signing off from the Comic-Con floor.
If they're listening, they already know where to find you, right?
In theory, we're on iTunes, too.
Oh!